It's 5:06. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell in for Veronica Rickert. Stay tuned. A little bit later on, we'll be finding out how to dispose of our old electronics responsibly and legally.
Plus, we'll take a look at the history of the snowmobile in our Wisconsin Legends segment.
For right now, though, we're going to be taking a look back at 2013. It was a turbulent year for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, or the WCIJ, as it continued to investigate stories pertaining to the state's environment, the wolf hunt, frac sand mining controversies, and more. It also found itself a target in a state committee's budget proposal.
While that proposal to ban the center from conducting business on UW property or work with anyone affiliated with the university was ultimately removed from the budget proposal, it put the center into the spotlight.
It did indeed, and the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism collaborates with Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, among others. Here to talk more about the work of the WCIJ and its year in investigative reporting is Ron Seeley. He is an editor and reporter with the Center. And Ron, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be talking with you about the Center.
Yeah, I'd like to start out with a little bit of background, you know, because people who follow the media in any kind of form these days, around the country, you see centers like this sort of springing up. And you've been around for a couple of years. And for those people who might not follow the media that closely, tell me what is happening out there that is causing these centers to spring up and what happened here in Wisconsin that led to the formation of the WCIJ?
Well, you bet. I think it's an important story to tell, and actually have been personally affected by this and some of the background here. I just left the Wisconsin State Journal in May. I was a science and environment reporter there for 35 years and joined the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, run by my an old friend and colleague of mine, Andy Hall, who started the center in 2009. And I think Andy had a lot of foresight in starting the center and was really plugged into some of the things that were happening across the country with regard to journalism, as you mentioned. I think we're all familiar with what has happened to newspapers with the advent of the web, with advertising moving to the web and to Craigslist and other such features. And we really newspapers lost a tremendous amount of income in recent years because of that change. And newsrooms shrank. The State Journal's newsroom shrank. I doubt that there's a newsroom in the country that wasn't affected. Oftentimes, when the newsroom shrank and you lose resources, it is often some of the work that's done on major projects and investigations that suffers. Money is put into regular beat coverage covering city council, of course, and school boards. But oftentimes, the important work of digging deep goes by the wayside. And I think that organizations like the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, which is a nonprofit, we're dependent on funding from private foundations. We don't take government funding. We're funded entirely by private foundations. You know, I think they are now being viewed as a new model that will allow some of this important work to continue.
And you work in collaboration, so and by that I mean, you know, working for a newspaper or a television station 10 or 20 years ago, you'd work on your own stories. But the WCIJ tends to collaborate with organizations. You collaborate.
Yeah,
it's
been one of the most impressive things I've seen in my time with the center, and I think that's part of this model that's very important to understand. Newspaper reporting and the newspaper business has been, over the years, very competitive, going back years and years. It was the objective was to beat your competition to the punch with a story, to get the paper out on the street first. And what I think Andy understood as he started the center is that what was going to increase our power and increase our ability to do good journalism was to forge ties with other media outlets, for instance, with Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Television, which are very important partners with the center, but also other nonprofits like Men Post. We just came off an important collaboration on a story with Men Post comparing Minnesota and Wisconsin with regards to the new healthcare law. And that was done, as a project together with Men Post, even though they are a nonprofit trying to make their way just like we are. So those collaborations are crucial and a very important part and will continue to be a growing part of what we do and how we operate.
Let's take a look back at 2013 for the center right now, and stories and beats that you cover. You've got regular places that you cover.
Yeah, I, for example, just speaking from my own experience, I have a background as a science and environment reporter. One of my jobs at the Wisconsin State Journal was to cover the Department of Natural Resources. I continue to do that now for the center, cover environmental issues. We are very involved in trying to make ourselves a center for environmental journalism. That the environment beat is a good example of one of those beats that often falls by the wayside, or a science beat at major newspapers when budgets are cut. And as I don't need to tell you that there are just a multitude of important environmental stories out there that we're trying to keep track of, including the proposed taconite mine in northern Wisconsin, frac sand mining. We, the center, really became the lead news agency on frac sand mining in the last year, covered it in depth. There was an excellent report that was done in September by Allison Durer, one of our interns, who looked at the impact of silica on human health. Not many people had been doing that, and the DNR really has not really taken that up as an issue. And Allison did a good job of digging into that and finding families who are touched by these big sand operations and affected, by potential health issues. I think it's important to point out that the stories I've mentioned, many of our stories are done by our paid interns, and I think that's another thing that makes the center unique. We have a twofold mission, really, and that is to continue offering this important investigative journalism to media outlets across the Great Lakes region. But we also, as part of our mission, we have an agreement with the journalism department where we're housed to train journalists in these investigative skills. And our reports, we have a paid staff of interns. We're in the process of hiring interns now for our next cycle. And these interns do much of the journalism that you'll see on our webpage, WisconsinWatch.org. And it's professional quality journalism. These stories have run everywhere from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to the Wisconsin State Journal, and of course on public radio and public television. So we're very proud of that, the role we play as not only investigative journalists, but educators and mentors.
We're going to take a break right now. When we return, we will resume our discussion about the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, and we'll talk about how the center found itself the target of headlines and the subject of headlines, I should say, and very much in the news itself during the past year. We're talking with Ron Seely from the Center for Investigative Journalism. He is an editor and reporter there, and we hope you'll join the conversation too. Are you curious about their work? Do you think that the center does good work, or do you think that it is just carrying out an agenda of one kind or another? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us. And that address is talk@WPR.org.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We're talking with Ron Seely of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism and taking a look at the year that was and the year ahead for investigative reporting in the state.
And you're welcome to join in. If you have a question about the Center for Investigative Journalism and how it works, is there an issue you hope they would tackle in 2014? You can give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
And Ron Seely, earlier we mentioned that the WCIJ turned out to be the target of a Joint Finance Committee budget proposal that would have removed your offices from the UW-Madison campus and would also have limited the center's ability to collaborate with anybody affiliated with the UW. That provision ultimately was removed from the budget before the governor signed it. But in the time since that proposal was made, have you figured out why the WCIJ was singled out as part of that budget process?
You know, that really has largely remained a mystery to us. It was one of those situations where the Joint Finance Committee was in one of those marathon sessions that ran into the early morning hours, and this particular proposal to basically boot the center out of its offices in the journalism department happened in the wee morning hours. And I know Andy Hall, our director, found out about it in a slew of emails and text messages at 5 in the morning. I think the story first appeared, a brief appeared on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel webpage. But not only would have removed us from the journalism department, would have also prevented the center from hiring UW employees. That was aimed largely at journalism faculty who collaborate and work with the center on training of journalists. So it was a shock and a surprise, but ended up being tremendously revealing of the support that the center, or the broad support the center has across throughout the upper Midwest and across the nation, really. There was a strong support from many quarters for the center, and eventually, of course, enough pressure was brought to bear that the governor vetoed that provision.
And, you know, during that whole discussion, one of the things that came up was the accusation that the center was a quote-unquote liberal organization. And, you know, when you hear that sort of thing with the journalistic background that you have, how do you respond to that, especially when you're responding to the same accusation sort of over and over and over again?
Yeah, I think all you have to do is really look at our record. We are nonpartisan. Our funding is very transparent. All you have to do is go on our webpage. You can see where our dollars come from. We don't hide anything about that. And if you look at some of the stories we've done, I think they speak for themselves. A good example is an investigation that one of our interns did of Wisconsin's GPS tracking of offenders. We found out that those tracking devices weren't working, actually, and people were wrongly being accused of being in violation, and some were threatened with being thrown back in prison. Well, the story caught the attention of Republican legislators. The Assembly Committee on Corrections called a legislative hearing to question the Department of Corrections about this, and at the hearing, one of the Republican legislators read aloud portions of the center's story when questioning the Department of Corrections director of sex offender programs, and really citing the center's reporting as a factor, the state legislature's budget committee, again made up mostly Republicans, scaled back a planned expansion of the GPS monitoring program, so and called for a study. So these are some of the very same people who, not much later than that, participated in this effort to kick us out of the journalism school. So I think that, again, our record speaks for itself, and we were interested in doing good journalism. And, I think all you have to do is really look at the very top of our webpage. You'll see that it says that our goals are to protect the vulnerable, expose wrongdoing, and seek solutions. And we do that regardless of the politics involved. Most of our stories are really proud of because they do get down to the street of where people live. They involve people's lives. We look at the problems that people are facing, try to write about them and come up with solutions. And everything from our stories and coverage of frac sand mining to stories, for instance, that we've done on job hunting help for residents with disabilities. We did a series that allowed those folks to get help faster. Governor Walker and the legislatures changed their position on some of those policies after that story ran. So you know, we're very proud of what we do.
I know another project collaboration that you're working on right now is the Wisconsin Water Watch Project. Could you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm personally very interested in that because of my work as an environmental reporter, and we're in the process of shaping those stories. I think a good example of the types of stories you're going to see is a recent story that just came out within the last 2 weeks by Kate Golden, a colleague of mine there who is also specializes in environmental reporting and does a lot of our work with data and data visualization. She found a really interesting connection between endocrine disruptors and the huge volumes of manure that the large industrial-sized farms are spreading now on Wisconsin farm fields. We're really interested in probing more at the issues of water, both the surface water, both groundwater and surface water, and the important connections, and how, despite Wisconsin being a water-rich state, we face a future where, without proper oversight and without some restraint on everyone's part, we are going to face a number of water problems. So we are collaborating with Wisconsin Public Radio, with Wisconsin Public Television, on a project. So we're excited about it.
And what's coming up next in the Water Watch series?
We're going to be looking probably following up on those stories on endocrine disruptors. We'll be taking a hard look at some of the industrial farms and some of the water issues there. We hope to take a look at the Great Lakes water issues, aquatic invasive species. We're really hoping to look at some of the quantity issues, including the issues affecting places like Waukesha, where, of course, they're trying to become one of the first communities to take water from the Great Lakes and return it for their use. So there are no end of stories, water stories, and you'll be seeing a lot of them on our webpage, wisconsinwatch.org.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me there's no end of stories in general. So how do you pick the ones that you're going to be investing a significant amount of resources into? I mean, does it work a lot in the way that people think of a traditional newspaper or broadcast model might work editorially?
Well, it's tough. We are a small staff. We only have really 4.5 full-time professionals and our staff of interns. But we do an amazing amount of work for being small, so it's such a small organization. We also have a very extensive editing and fact-checking process that each of our projects has to go through so that they don't take time. But we aren't under the same time restrictions for daily breaking stories that a daily newspaper might be. We can spend a little more time on our projects. We do have to pick and choose, but we do, I think, turn out on Bill Leaders, and I haven't mentioned him, is our money in politics reporter and director of the money in politics part of our operation, and he does a weekly column, and those columns have been tremendously effective in keeping track of the issues, many issues regarding politics and money in our state. He does a column a week, and that column has been picked up and cited more than 470 times by at least 75 news organizations since he came aboard. The volume of material, the volume of journalism that comes out of this, I mean, people, they'd be shocked if they saw our offices. These are basically closet-sized offices in the journalism department. And for the volume of journalism that comes out of this organization, people would be shocked to see where we work from.
We've only got about a minute or so left. What can we look forward to hearing from the center in terms of news coverage in 2014?
Well, I think, the Wisconsin the Water Watch stories are going to be very important, but we will continue digging into a number of important issues. I know Bill and I have been taking a harder look at the wolf hunt, which just ended, and you'll be seeing in the next couple of weeks some important stories from us on on that topic, and you'll be seeing a bill tackling issues such as redistricting, which is going to be a very hot topic in coming months, and we'll be on top of that story. We will be tackling any number of issues, and I really encourage people to take a look at the webpage to keep track of the webpage. There's also a very interesting long list of comments about our work from some of the people who use our journalism, the editors of small weekly newspapers across the state who rely on us for journalism that they can't do. And if you're interested in supporting us, there's a box you can check on, click on our webpage called Eye on Power, and we welcome your support.
All right, terrific. Ron Seely, thanks so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Ron Seely, an editor and reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism.
I'm Rob Ferret with Gene Purcell. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.